You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We are back. The great Eric Metcalf making his way out of the studio. A little lobster mac and cheese, courtesy of Rosewood Grill, by the way, who brings you the roundtable twice a week on Cleveland Browns Daily here. And that was a lot of fun. I thought that was cool. I thought that one caller with the birthday caller was great, and it was great to have him in studio. And, you know, when you get an opportunity to talk to guys who have been here before and who understand the magnitude of this rivalry, it really is cool and really puts it into perspective. And I thought that was really great to have Eric Metcalf here on this particular day, yeah, right before Steelers-Browns.
Yeah, there's a sense he's got that. He really has that perspective. It's the kind of thing is, and I love the way you framed the question, like what would you tell the players now, the guys who really don't understand? There's a lot of them that don't.
Right.
The head coach, I think, can convey that message to some degree, talking with them from his perspective as a guy who's grown up a Browns fan. But really, the whole player deal on this has to be developed over time. And you heard Eric Metcalf say it. We beat those guys 51-0 my first game against them as a rookie. I thought that was the way it was going to go. And the Steelers came right back that year and beat the Browns. And then overall, obviously the series has taken these turns, and now it is very much a pronounced Steeler turn. But I like his look at things. And he's, you know, he's a guy, he's a gem. I mean, when you really think about what he did for this team, what he's done for the game and his impact on the game. And, you know, he's the forerunner to all the great return men that we see now in the National Football League. But glad to have him here. And again, glad to have people with a chance like the birthday wish that he was able to fulfill on our show. I love that.
I really believe that Eric Metcalf is the guy that when coaches looked and tried to get advantages, because remember, he played on that great run-and-shoot team with Jeff George in Atlanta, went to the playoffs, put up crazy stats that year. But I think that he's the forerunner of guys like Percy Harvin, Randall Cobb, Darren Sproles. We're seeing the way that Shane Vereen is now going to be used in New England. He's the reason those guys kind of that role evolved into such a prominent one in today's NFL. And you look at the best offenses in the league, they have a guy like an Eric Metcalf to give that balance, to win those mismatches out of the slot, play in the backfield as well. Reggie Bush, similar in many ways also. He was a special player, and he was, and as he talked about, you know, obviously there could be financial reasons for him to wish he wasn't ahead of his time, but he was a little bit ahead of his time, but he still was great, and it would be, that's one of the guys that you'd want to see if you could do kind of a time machine draft and take his skills in today's game. My goodness.
Yeah. Let's go to Mike in Youngstown with us now. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys, doing a great show.
Thank you.
I'm on the road a lot, so I get to listen to a lot of them, and by far, you guys are the best show on the radio.
Wow,
including the other stations.
Thank you.
Pleasure of meeting another great Metcalf, Terry, way back in the day. Absolute fantastic player, as was Eric. Never got to meet Eric, but obviously got to watch him a lot on TV, and the excitement that he brought to Browns football was, I'm not going to say it was never matched, because that would be a dumb statement, but to watch him and anticipate what he was going to do on any given play was it was worth watching.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The excitement factor is not a small thing, by the way, in watching games. You want success. You want the win first and foremost. But you do want to be entertained, and you want to be electrified. And those players, I mean, the league understands that so well that the league tries to set up rules, manipulate the game in ways that there can be more electrified plays. And the league is built now where offenses, receivers, obviously quarterbacks, can have free rein as much as they can. So if you have good players at those positions, you're going to put up video game numbers, because defenses are handicapped in trying to stop that. You could still have exceptional defense, but truthfully, for the most part, with the way the rules are written and the enforcement and the attention to enforcing these rules, the way the officials are guided, and they're inconsistent with this, unfortunately, but that is how it is set up, and it's tear it up as much as you can, and in the return game, you should have those opportunities as well, even though kickoffs are going deep, or even though you have the opportunity to kick it out of the end zone and neutralize a guy like that. At some point, though, the ball gets in that guy's hand, especially on punt returns, and Eric Metcalf and Travis Benjamin can take it to the house.
They can be absolutely electric, and if they're electric, if you touch them, you might get shocked. No doubt about it. Eric Metcalf, a great Cleveland Browns legend and an NFL legend here in studio with us. That was a lot of fun. Thanks to Carly McCord for tweeting out that picture, which you can get if you follow at @Browns_daily on Twitter. And, of course, you can call your shot with us via the phones, 216-578-0850, or tweet us at @Browns_daily. What, we're taking a quick break here?
I think we are.
When we come back.
No, we're not. I'm sorry. And we got to go inside the locker room.
Yes, let's. Right.
So let's go inside the locker room. Jameer Howerton sitting down with Greg Little. Jameer, take it.
Thanks, Vic. Greg, with just one more day to prepare for the Steelers, how has practice gone this week?
I feel as if, as you know, we've done everything preparation-wise, and one more day left is our Fast Friday, and we're just going to try to finish strong and just try to do everything that we can do to make sure we're going in the game with all hands on deck.
Greg, you guys have been hard at work on the field, but also in the classroom. From studying the film on this Pittsburgh Steelers team, what has jumped out to you?
We feel like, you know, they play a lot on instincts, and we're just going to try and find the open guy and, try to wait for them to make a mistake and hopefully hurt him big.
They got off to a slow start early on, but what have you seen on film that has enabled them to turn that corner and really attribute to their success that they've been having?
They've always been a great team, and they still have some of the same guys on the team. And they were just trying to get it to where it was all working together, all working parts together. And they're seeming to find a way to win games. And it's definitely going to be a fight Sunday.
What's the buzz been like in the locker room as you guys have been preparing for the Steelers?
Definitely trying to be more attention to detail is kind of what we're being hitting on this past week, and trying to make sure we're taking care of all the small things and the big things will come.
With that being said, what were some of the things that you really focused in on for yourself?
Just finishing every play, finishing every opportunity that I have to make an impact and making a big one.
Now, Greg, you've been a part of this Pittsburgh Steeler rivalry. Overall, what does this game mean to you?
It's a huge game. It's a huge game for our community. It's a huge game for us being a division game. And we just want to go out and give our best game and put everything together, special teams, defense, and offense, and play our best football game this season.
Greg, thanks for your time, and good luck to you Sunday.
Thank you.
Back to you, Vic.
All right, Jameer, thank you very much. This is an important guy Sunday. They have to have production beyond. If we're talking about the Steelers having three or more receivers involved in that offense, the Browns have to have the same type of thing, if not better, and have a return of what we saw against Baltimore with Little and Devon Bess doing their thing.
In the two games that this Steelers defense has been the most victimized via the pass, believe it or not, one of them was the Minnesota Vikings. The other one, obviously, New England, when it was the worst defensive performance in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. Those are the only two games in which two wide receivers have eclipsed 50 yards all season against this defense. So they have one guy's been able to get off on them, no question. Calvin Johnson, we saw it last week, but no other receiver on Detroit over 40 yards in that game. If you can get that kind of multi-layered production from, obviously, Flash Gordon, from Greg Little, Devon Bess chipping in, getting Jordan Cameron, as you called it, the return of Jordan Cameron game, then this team is going to have a mountain of success against this defense. But the key is to have at least one of those guys, if not two, step up alongside Josh Gordon and give Jason Campbell the options he needs in the passing game and the variation they need to truly be successful. Because like I said, the two games where Pittsburgh's defense was really put to the test, multiple receivers stepped up on them. New England, you had Aaron Dobson with 5 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. Danny Amendola, 4 for 122 and a touchdown. And then that Minnesota game when Jerome Simpson had 7 for 124, and you had Greg Jennings with 3 catches, 92 yards, and 2 scores. That's the key. That's what they need to get the job done against the Steelers on Sunday as a passing offense in what will be probably less than ideal passing conditions.
Yeah, and this Steelers secondary is going to offer it up. Those opportunities are going to be there, I believe. They just don't move very well. They're an older, slower type of secondary. And I think they can be, you can take advantage of them. We saw certainly Matthew Stafford, one of the better quarterbacks in the league, do the things that he did in the second half of that game, put the Lions in position to win a game they probably should have won had their head coach Jim Schwartz not done something that he should regret, although he tried to defend it afterward. But that fake field goal was a silly call to second guess.
That's
beyond silly. No, you know,
go up by a touchdown.
Yeah, you should have. They should have been able to do what they did. But having said that, I think those opportunities are there in the passing game. It's Jason Campbell believing that he can turn it loose more than he has. I want him to not make the mistakes. I want him to be conscious of avoiding mistakes, but you can do that and still make plays.
But you have to not, you can't play to be afraid of making mistakes.
Right.
You got to trust yourself, make those plays. And big plays are something that we are saying is very important. So is the offensive coordinator of the offense, Norv Turner, who was asked about if the team needs to hit these big plays on Sunday against the Steelers.
We need to find a way to make some big plays. We got one in the second half. If we had not played the way we did in the second quarter, you know, those are the kind of plays that have helped us stay in games or helped us win games. So for us to go have success offensively, we need to find a way to get some big plays, along with playing better on third down.
Yeah, and he said that so right. It's he's in search of it. He faces a couple of challenges. The first challenge is Jason Campbell and his overall skill level. Does he have what it takes to get to the type of game that he had we saw against Baltimore? Is that more Jason Campbell, or is it the Bengals' Jason Campbell? Because he can be both quarterbacks, not just because we've seen those in the last couple of games, but he can. You've alternately in his career, that's kind of been the line on Campbell. And I hope he can progress past that line and that point with this football team. So it's going to take some things, maybe schematically, some things on the part of the Browns, on the Browns coaching staff, etc., to try to handle that, to try to deal with that. The second part of it is in this game, the defense and how the Steelers defense can handle or not handle a guy who has enough experience, I think, to see where those holes are, see where those flaws are, and take advantage of those, and not just trust his ability to physically deliver it, but know what he's seeing, know what he's looking at. And then I think the third thing is from an attitude, an attitude standpoint, what DeQuell Jackson said in calling everybody out in Monday's team meeting, that carries over to this, to both sides of the ball, especially the offensive side of the ball, and that the message is heard there, that they've got to do their part. This defense has carried this load, Nathan, way, way too long now,
sure,
and way too much. And it's starting to become a load that, as much as you say, okay, you got to have a side of the ball that can be stronger than the other side, but I think the understanding is don't give in to that. Don't succumb to the idea that, well, we're just not good enough offensively, so we will let the defense carry.
Right, and you can't have that. That's the type of imbalance that makes it difficult to win on a consistent basis, because if the defense has a little bit of a struggle, then everything goes south, and you can't have that. But I think this is a game where the offense does have the chance to step up. We talked about the Steelers, the big plays, 8 pass plays already, over 40 yards this year, 8th most in the NFL. The average passing touchdown allowed by the Pittsburgh Steelers this year, 31.8 yards, 2nd most in the National Football League. So this is an opportunity, in my opinion, to do something and to do something significant offensively in this game. And I think if they can come out and establish, take advantage of the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers are giving up over 100 yards per game on the ground to running backs, one of only 8 teams in the NFL that is true of. If they can take advantage of that to set up the play action, the opportunities for the big plays will be there. And as you said, Jason Campbell, let it rip, bro. Let it rip. Just let it rip.
All right. That is my advice to Jason Campbell for the rest of the season, not just Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, we've got much more coming up for you. Again, it is a Call Your Shot Friday, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. And you tweet this show at Browns_daily. So we'll get into all of that, and then we'll also get in with you, because we do this on this show, is we're going to call our shot, but also do the Friday forecast. That's coming up at 2:15, Gerard Cherry at 2:40. Stick around, much more on CBD ESPN 850 WKNR.